From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Thanksgiving Day comes, and in millions and millions of homes, a meal rolls out that we like to tell ourselves is something like the Pilgrims. Turkey, stuffing, cranberries, pumpkin pie. But there are many variations on the theme, and they grow wider as the country gets more comfortable with its diversity. Spices and dishes on the Thanksgiving table from all over the world. This year, with a little Hanukkah thrown in to boot. This hour on point to Turkey and beyond, the evolving Thanksgiving flavors of a multicultural America. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. What's traditional and what's distinctive ethnically on your table tomorrow? A little saffron in the glaze? A little cardamom in the sweet potatoes? Tell us. Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Got a wonderful panel of cooks, chefs, bakers with us today with all kinds of ethnic background in the tapestry of their lives, like the country itself. With me in the studio right now, Joanne Chang, pastry chef and owner of Flower Bakery and Cafe, as well as Myers and Chang, an Asian restaurant here in Boston that specializes in Asian cuisine. Her most recent cookbook is Flower 2, Indispensable Recipes for the Cafe's Most Loved Sweets and Savories. Joanne Chang, great to see you. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's wonderful to have you here. Also with us in the studio, Raina Simnigar, author of Persian Food from the Non-Persian Bride, and other Sephardic kosher recipes you will love. She also blogs about Persian cooking and shares her recipes at her website, kosherpersianfoodblog.org. Raina, welcome to On Point. Great to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to hear in just a moment from James Tahan in Miami with his own take on Thanksgiving. There is a wonderful array of Thanksgiving Day food before me that is at once kind of very familiar in some of the aromas that are in this studio right now and not entirely familiar at the same time. I can't wait to share this with our listeners. It's just terrific. But I want to think for just a second about Thanksgiving. We know the standard menu. Everybody knows this. And the smell of it, the sage and everything that goes into that menu. But it is not in every home these days. And I know, Joanne, in your case, growing up, it was not even a turkey on the table. For your Chinese mom, that was just a bridge too far. But she came as close as she could. She tried. She got close.
She tried. She made duck every year.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know turkey was something that you were supposed to have at Thanksgiving until probably I was about 12 or 13.
Wow.
And somebody said, how is your turkey? And
yeah,
I thought, turkey's that thing that comes in the TV dinners.
Right.
Like, that's what I thought of turkey,
right,
the Stouffer's TV dinner. So
right,
I thought, no turkey.
Yeah.
We tried it one year,
yeah,
and it was an abysmal failure. Nobody liked it. We all kind of turned our nose up to it. So growing up, we just ate duck every single year.
And duck was Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Duck lacquered with soy, a little bit of scallion, a little bit of sugar with the hoisin and the pancakes.
Yeah.
To me, that was Thanksgiving.
But there was a wonderful bird on the table, just a different bird.
Right, right.
We're going to look at what you've come around to on Thanksgiving. Raina, you've got a Persian background that then comes through Venezuela, Latin America, comes into a Jewish household. And I forget how old you were when you came to the United States, but I wonder how the traditional, when you first remember seeing the traditional Thanksgiving meal and what you thought of it from that background.
Yes, I'm from Venezuela, and I'm married to a Persian man,
yeah,
and to make him happy, I learned how to cook all Persian foods.
Okay.
And in Venezuela, we don't really celebrate Thanksgiving.
Of course, yeah.
I don't think that I ever tasted turkey in my life before I came to America, and it was really pretty much a surprise. It wasn't really my favorite bird. I have to agree with you.
It has a very distinctive flavor.
Yeah.
If you didn't grow up with it, you might not like it.
Exactly. And also, you know, it was my first exposure to Thanksgiving was really through Persian people. And they wanted to have a little bit of the Thanksgiving flavor to it.
Yeah.
But they added a little more of an exotic flair. Like, they will put lime and they will put saffron. And so my Thanksgiving turkey really is dressed up in Persian flair. Saffron, you know, lime, olive oil, all kinds of really yummy, tangy tomato. It's not really your regular Thanksgiving turkey you see. And also we make rice on Thanksgiving, which is something that Americans don't really make.
No potatoes on the table, or rice and potatoes? Or
not really. Eat rice and potatoes. If I make mashed potatoes, I usually make sweet mashed potatoes with cardamom, because cardamom is such a beloved Persian ingredient. So I just always have to jazz it up a little. You know?
Well, let me ask you both. I mean, for a lot of Americans, it's turkey, it's the traditional, it's the stuffing, it's all that. But of course, the heart of it is Thanksgiving. It's not just a recreation of some imagined meal hundreds of years ago. Your menus may be different, but do you still look at this day, Joanne, as an important day?
Absolutely. I mean, even though we didn't follow the American traditions of food for Thanksgiving, I was very aware from the time I was a little girl on that we took this day just to be thankful for what we have. And so that's something that I still carry forth, even though we don't always celebrate with the traditional meal. We still, you know, take a moment and say, or take the day to say, wow, we've got a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah. And Raina, as an immigrant, as you came to know this country and this culture and watch people celebrate this day, what have you come to make of it beyond the food on the table?
I can't even start explaining you how thankful I am to be in this country and to be blessed to be able to be here on the radio and talk about Jewish holidays, Thanksgiving, to be able to be free. It is such an amazing, amazing feeling. And for sure, that's one thing that we always say in Thanksgiving. You know, we're so grateful to be in America and to be able to celebrate this holiday with all the family, my kids. I am an Orthodox Jew. I'm having my children walk around with the garb, you know, the kippah or the yarmulke, and my husband as well. It's a gift. And there's nothing else I can even tell you. I'm so grateful. And Thanksgiving is a perfect holiday for that. So.
And this year, of course, we have this unusual, unorthodox calendar where Hanukkah comes right in around Thanksgiving.
Tonight.
Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving right into the middle of Hanukkah. Thanksgivica, people are talking about. We've got some evidence of that on the table before us here. I want to. It's great to have you, Joanne Chang. And Rain, it's great to have you right here with us. With us now from Miami in Florida is James Tahan as well. He is chef and co-host for Telemundo's morning show, Un Nuevo Dia. James, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, Tom, how are you? Great to be with you guys.
It's wonderful to have you right here. You know the traditional Thanksgiving meal. What about your table tomorrow, James? How will it be like and unlike the old conventional's go-to?
I try to incorporate some sort of our, you know, native ingredients from Latin America into the Thanksgiving tradition. And we basically, like, let's say the recipe I'm going to be making tomorrow for my turkey is going to be a turkey that's going to be roasted with a chili glaze that goes on top. And I'm using guajillo chilies. It's a very aromatic chili that has a very distinctive flavor. And then I'm using tamarind also to, you know, make some sort of a sweet and sour glaze that gives it a tremendous amount of color and aroma. And, you know, basically, as I was saying, I like to incorporate our ingredients into this beautiful tradition. It's one of my favorite times of the year because you get to sit down as a family and actually we have the time to eat and we're dedicating a whole day to food and spending some quality time with the family, you know?
Take us on through your Thanksgiving Day menu, whether it's tomorrow or the kind of things that you like to put on the table on Thanksgiving, James. Okay, there's your turkey, and you've got the glaze of guajillo chilies and tamarind. We're already in distinctive territory there. What else is on that table in your mind's eye?
Wait, I'm a huge fan of sweet potatoes, so I'm going to make the traditional sweet potato puree. Like, you know, it's like mashed potatoes, but I make it with sweet potato. And then I use some of our ingredients as well. We're going to use cinnamon. And we're going to use some cloves to give it, you know, a tremendous amount of aroma and perfume. And then I add some sour cream also to make a balance between the sweetness of the sweet potato and then the tartness from the sour cream. Then I bake it for a little bit to get a crispy top, you know, and we have that play into textures. You have a crispy top and then you get a creamy center that to me is just phenomenal. We're also going to have some pumpkin creme brulees, you know, waiting there to finish our meal. That's going to be our dessert. We call it crema catalana, which is a creme brulee, and there's a whole issue between if this recipe was French or Spanish from Spain, right?
Right.
But we don't get into that, and we just make it and give it our own twist. In this case, I'm going to make it using pumpkin, which is a beautiful ingredient for the season. You know, you find it everywhere, super available.
Sure.
And the flavor is just, you know, you basically take this recipe to a whole new level, and you basically, everyone in our dinner table is going to be amazed with this recipe because it's something traditional, but with a twist.
I have that and much more spread on the table before us right here in Boston, James. I'm so glad you're there in Boston. I mean, let me ask you this. For a lot of Americans who go old school on Thanksgiving and absolutely love that, part of the charm of the day is that you have this kind of unique meal. People don't have this whole menu every day or maybe any other day of the year that you repeat year after year. I mean, in your Thanksgiving, James, is there something that becomes your tradition, that becomes the what your kids expect on Thanksgiving Day, or is it just a wonderful new menu every Thanksgiving Day?
I think it's a little bit of both because my family tends to, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving in Latin America.
Right.
But I've been living here for the past 13 years and you know, that makes the tradition part of our lives.
Sure.
So it became something that we do every year. So our family gives it a twist. And, you know, they start bringing all this bunch of food that has nothing to do with Thanksgiving, but it's just amazing. And then we incorporate the Thanksgiving classics into the menu. So when you actually sit down to eat, you have over 20 different dishes sitting down that none of them have to do, you know, that have anything to do with each other. But I think that's what the whole experience is about. You know, sharing food, spending some time with somebody else's recipes. And, I mean, it just makes me happy, you know.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking today about the Thanksgiving table in a multicultural America. All kinds of Americans making the Thanksgiving Day menu their own. And I have some wonderful cuisines represented today with us in my guests and on the table in the studio. From Miami, Florida, James Tahan joins us. He's chef and co-host for Telemundo's morning show, Un Nuevo Día. You can find him on Twitter at Chef James. With me in the studio, Joanne Chang, pastry chef and owner of Flower and Myers and Chang, Asian restaurant in Boston, and more, author of Flour, spectacular recipes from Boston's Flour Bakery and Cafe. And Raina Simnagar is with us, author of Persian Food from the Non-Persian Bride and other Sephardic kosher recipes you will love. You can find recipes from all three of them at our website today, onpointradio.org. Wonderful response here online on Facebook. Inez writes to us. She says, years ago, after having Thanksgiving with my Armenian former in-laws, I asked my daughter what her favorite thing on the table was for Thanksgiving. She answered, pilaf. Pilaf for Thanksgiving. I laughed so hard, but she's right. Grandma's pilaf is incredible. Here's Patricia DiMartino says, I'm listening and I'm preparing stuffed shells. There is always an Italian pasta dish to accompany whatever the main entree is on their Thanksgiving table. Jan, maybe this is Scandinavian, and I'm not sure. She says I make garlic, horseradish, butter, sour cream cheese, mashed potatoes, cook the potatoes in chicken stock. Wow. She's got her own spin on here. And John says curry, !! For Thanksgiving. And Susie says, don't forget the vegan Thanksgiving. The table is spread with many delicious vegetable dishes, a true bounty from the garden. We've got food from all over here. James, Joanne, Raina, stand by. Nancy in Needham, Massachusetts is calling. Nancy, thanks for calling. You're on the air. What do you make?
Hi, Tom, and happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody else.
Thank you.
This year, I will not be making anything, but I want to eat James's pumpkin brulee. It sounds really good.
we're going to do it right in your ear before this hour's out.
Gosh,
so envy us, Nancy.
So I wanted to tell you a few things. One, I was married to an Iranian for many, many years, and I remember when I first met his mom and dad, they came over, I was pregnant, and it was Thanksgiving time. And they came to my mom and dad's house, and were sitting there. My parents couldn't speak Persian. I could barely speak Persian. They couldn't speak English. And here was my husband, their son, running around putting food. He never sat down. He was just putting things on his parents' plate, telling them how to eat it. And they looked at this sliced turkey with absolutely nothing on it. And they're like,
what?
What is that?
Right.
But I think they each had like a quart of gravy themselves to like make it palatable. And so a couple of things. One is we never used cardamom, which is hell in Persian or Arabic. We never put that in foods at all. And so maybe it is something particular to certain regions or families. But one thing that my ex-husband always did make, and it's beautiful, is zereshk polo, which is, polo means pilaf. And zereshks are barberries, and you can buy them locally here in Watertown and different places around the U.S. And you make traditional Persian rice, which is lovely. And then the zereshk is barberries, lemon, a little garlic, some diced onion, and sugar, so that it's a kind of a tangy, savory kind of topping with all these berries that you then pour across the top of the white steaming rice. And it's
wonderful.
Beautiful looking.
Oh, Nancy, you take us right there with your enthusiasm for it. I see it survived the breakup of your marriage very well. cuisine overall. Listen, we have a very sympathetic ear for your what you're talking about right there. Raina, what
she
are
made
you hearing?
My mouth water.
Yes, in Miami, you've got James going in right here. Raina, this is right in your wheelhouse.
Yes,
this is it.
And you know, she's right. It depends. So first of all, Thanksgiving was not celebrated in Iran. So every family really takes upon themselves a little twist of their own. And my husband is from a beautiful town of Shiraz. And in Shiraz, they actually use a lot of cardamom, not only in desserts, but they also use it in meatballs and turkey balls, which sometimes we actually make in Thanksgiving.
And do you put it in your potatoes today?
I put it in my potatoes, in my sweet mashed potatoes, along with some cinnamon.
Sweet mashed potatoes.
Sweet mashed potatoes. That's
Is it dessert or it's just part of the meal?
It's
applesauce is plenty sweet.
Just,
we know sweet on that plate.
Yeah,
but
it's just part of the meal. And zereshk polo is absolutely delicious. Absolutely delicious. So yeah, maybe I'll make it tomorrow. Thank you.
We use cardamom. You know, my parents are Arabic. They're both from Syria, so that's what I was saying. When we sit down on Thanksgiving, we have food from Syria, we have food from Venezuela, where I was born, and then we have the Native American recipes, the classics, I would say, and that's why it's so crazy. But that's the beauty of Thanksgiving nowadays, with such a multicultural city like Miami. We have people from everywhere, and then when you actually talk to them through social media or whatever, they send pictures, you see the tables, and they're all so different, but so delicious, that is just unbelievable.
I've got questions about what works together, you know, what can mix across cuisines and what just can't, maybe. I don't know how much can be bridged and how much we just have to enjoy as part of separate traditions, even if on the same table. But so many callers with the stories of the threads of their tapestry. Stevens Point, Wisconsin, Catherine's calling. Catherine, you're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
My grandfather was born in Denmark.
Okay.
And we always would have red cabbage at Thanksgiving, and it was a family recipe that was never written down because you just had to watch my mother and her sisters make it. And finally, my daughters one Thanksgiving said, okay, we have to learn how to make
red cabbage. I love red cabbage. I'm so glad you raised it. How do you include it?
Well, it's you cook it slowly all day long. So the house smells of it. And about an hour before you eat, you bring it to a very high temperature, and you add equal amounts of vinegar and sugar. And you keep stirring it and stirring it. So they always, when I was a child, it was the responsibility of stirring, you know, because you can't burn it.
Yes.
You have to just caramelize it.
Yes.
And it turns it almost to a mush, but it is like the most aromatic thing. And then after it's gotten to that right taste, because you have to keep tasting it to see if you need more sugar, more vinegar, then add a little butter right at the end as it cools down, and it just looks glorious.
The splendor of red cabbage. And does it fold right in with stuffing and all the rest, the traditional fixings?
It does. Well, in our family, it does. As a matter of fact, some of the my cousins who still can make it, we call each other to say, now, wait a minute, how did you do that?
Get that red cabbage on. It's Thanksgiving Day.
My daughter loves it. And we tease my son-in-law because he has not developed a taste for it. And I say to my nieces and nephews, make sure before you marry someone that they do the red cabbage.
Oh, there's always something that's a bridge too far for the kids. Pickled herring in my house, but that's another story. Catherine, thanks so much. Joanne, I mean, what about fusion? Everybody talks about fusion. What fuses with the Thanksgiving, the traditional Thanksgiving table, and what might not?
Well, when I got married, my husband, Christopher, grew up in Newburyport.
Okay.
And he celebrated...
New England guy.
Exactly. With stuffing and mashed potatoes and turkey and cranberry and all
these
things.
And here you are, the duck Chinese table girl.
Yeah, and I thought, how do I mix all of these together? And so I naturally just am always thinking about Asian flavors. Garlic, ginger, scallion, soy, sesame oil, rice wine vinegar, cilantro, all of the herbs. So what I've tried to do when we do cook at home is take... what he's used to and try to meld it a little bit with what I'm used to. And so we always do, as Rana was saying, as other people have been saying, rice. We always have rice.
And so, potatoes, or rice is the starch
of
your table?
Well, I will do potatoes because he'll want potatoes. Yeah. I won't necessarily eat them. I love potatoes, but I always want rice.
Yeah.
But in order to make it more Thanksgiving-y, I'll put in some mushrooms and actually make a sticky rice stuffing. It's got the rice, but it kind of tastes like stuffing. You can eat it with turkey. And so everything that I bring to the table is American with a little bit of an Asian flavor for the most part.
And so there you are on Thanksgiving turf, but with just a different presentation.
Yeah. And in fact, one of the things that we have talked about is how every meal we have at this point, we always eat with chopsticks. So even Thanksgiving dinner, we will eat with chopsticks.
Slice that turkey small.
That is
turkey.
So cool.
You know, I actually also stuff my turkey with rice. And it's a pollo shirin, which is a sweet rice, because the turkey is usually tangy and saffrony, and then sweetness inside is so good.
I've seen a beautiful
what a great
picture
balance.
With some raisins in there.
Yeah, those
well.
Are actually little zeresk right there.
What's
like the color zeresk? Is this really beautiful berry that's a little bit sour.
Or berberry, something
yeah,
she called
and
it.
This is called Pollo Shirin. It has just so many different berries. You can put cranberries, you can put zeresk, currant raisins, you name it.
Is it tart? Like a cranberry might be
tart,
a little bit?
It's tart.
Well, then that works. There you've got
it
the
works,
connection.
But then also you have some sweetness in there too, because you can add caramelized onions as well. It's endless.
James, how do you prepare that turkey of yours with the chili and the tamarind? How do you actually prepare it?
I was actually making it. My hands smell like it because
smell.
I was making it right now before coming here. I was making it on air on live television through Telemundo in our morning show.
Wonderful.
And it's a super simple recipe, but it's definitely worth the time. I mean, it's a little time consuming, but it's definitely worth it. I kind of changed a little bit of the way we cook turkey because I think in America we use very high temperatures to cook turkey. And what happens is that because we have such big birds nowadays, the outside cooks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I mean, we have it tends to overcook on the outside. And then you get the juicy part right next to the bone. So to get an even cooking throughout the whole turkey, what I do is that, first of all, I make my glaze using some agave syrup.
Okay.
You can use honey or sugar.
Yeah,
and then I rehydrate my dried chilies, the guajillo chilies.
Mm-hmm.
I rehydrate them, and then I blend them to make like a paste.
Okay.
Then I mix this with the honey, and I put the tamarind. So I let that cook and reduce until it becomes like a bit more thick than a syrup. It's like a thick syrup,
right?
And then that's my glaze.
Okay.
I season the outside of the turkey with some salt and pepper, and then I let it roast for around 30 minutes. To dry out the skin. When that happens, and I'm mentioning this and my mouth's watering already.
It's ours too.
It hits you on the side. It's crazy. When I think of tamarind, that tanginess, it just hits me on the side and I start salivating like crazy. but coming back to the turkey recipe, once you bring it out of the oven, you put this glaze on top and then you repeat this process every 25 to 30 minutes to develop a very sticky.
And how long do you cook it?
I cook it at a very low temperature. I go actually to like the 225 degrees and I cook it for around 10 hours.
Wow. Okay.
Because what happens is that we did some research, me and my culinary team, on how to develop the perfect turkey. And we got to the conclusion that the turkey, like every other living organism, it's made out, three quarters are made out of water.
Sure.
Right? So when you put that in the oven and you put high heat, what happens is that the water starts evaporating, correct?
Of course.
It's a natural chemical process.
So you turn it down low and do it for 10 hours, it must almost fall off the bone.
Exactly. And then you get, literally, you can pick pieces of the breast like you were, you know, grabbing pieces of butter. They literally melt in your mouth, and the juiciness. And the first time we did this, we actually tried the juiciness by sticking a thermometer in the breast to check the internal temperature of the turkey. Yeah. As soon as we took the thermometer out, the just a splash of juice that came out of the turkey was ridiculous. It almost went into my eye.
Watch out. Hey, we've got turkey right on the table here in the studio and much more. I want to begin to turn to it. Raina, take us to your... This is a Persian version, tomato sauce and saffron, but that's an unmistakably a turkey leg.
That's
and
it.
More here. How have you prepared this?
So I marinate the turkey in this beautiful, beautiful dressing that I make with tomato paste and has real garlic, mashed real garlic, and he has also olive oil, and he has lime juice, fresh lime juice, and he also has saffron, which gives it that gorgeous color.
I'm beginning the great tasting course here. The color's amazing. It's sort of bright. You can see the brilliant yellow-orange of the saffron in it.
It's beautiful. Mm. Saffron is a fantastic, fantastic ingredient. A little bit goes a long way. It's expensive, but it makes sense. It takes... 40 hours of labor and an orchard the size of a football field to develop a pound of saffron.
So, I mean, it's definitely turkey.
It
but
is.
But it's got this
Isn't
kind of
tangy,
glow around on, of a tang and a softness even in the tang.
Yeah, it's very delicious. And
okay, now I'm mad because I can't
find Sorry.
It. Hey, come on.
Send
me some. You know, there's overnight stuff.
Hey, listen, and this year we've got Hanukkah right around Thanksgiving. So you have next to this, I have right to this beautiful turkey leg, sort of glowing, beautiful colors. We have a kind of eggplant latke.
These are like latkes. These are great. These are great. Well, obviously, my family is Jewish, and we celebrate Hanukkah in a little different way.
These are big, kind of thick latkes.
Yeah, come on. Generous latkes.
I love it. I love it. Oh.
They're called Kuku, these are kuku bademjoon in Farsi.
Kuku.
And they are delicious. They're soft inside, just like a latke, crispy on the outside, lazy, delicious, salty, yumminess. And the difference is that
they have
roasted eggplant inside, which is really different. And
which
really
sounds
yummy.
Incredibly Persian just in itself.
Exactly. And my husband goes berserk for this. Goes crazy.
Is this traditional Persian, Jewish? Hanukkah latke or?
No, this is a traditional Persian meal that is not really usually made in Hanukkah. But what happens in Hanukkah, because of the miracle of the oil, we go ahead and do anything fried is basically celebratory.
Must
so from
fry.
My side of the world, I make churros on Hanukkah sometimes. And
That's nice.
Yeah, I know you like that. and for my husband, I make this delicious kuku, kuku bademjoon. Eggplant latkes.
Fantastic. More callers. Jean-Marc from Madison, Wisconsin. Jean-Marc, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi, guests. Hi. First of all, I just want to say, Tom, that you and Doris from the last hour are definitely on my list of humans I want to sit down and have a beer with.
So there's a beer. What else on the table, John?
Well, second thing, I'm French-Canadian, so first of all, this conversation's happening a month too late. But I was also born in Germany and have Filipino godparents, so...
Oh, you've got it all. Come on to our Thanksgiving table. What will you put there?
Well, I love the purple cabbage that somebody was talking about. That was definitely kind of a German thing that we grew up with frequently. Frequently, our turkey would be replaced by a tortière, which I will stop at describing as a meat pie, because asking what the right recipe for a tortière is kind of like saying what's the correct recipe.
And what cuisine is that from?
It's definitely French-Canadian.
Okay.
It comes from various different... backgrounds and all that sort of thing. But for us, it's French Canadian.
And what kind of meat? Is this turkey or venison? Or what do you put in there?
Well, that's why I can't really say that, Tom. I might cause a fight. Just asking what the right recipe for a gumbo is.
Oysters or...
No. We definitely grew up with mostly kind of a ground beef and potato and carrot and all that sort of thing. In that. The main thing I wanted to share with you, though, is you mentioned the vegan options as well, because that was a cultural shift that we have in our house. My wife grew up in steak on a plate, Nebraska, and she became vegan. And so just kind of adapting some of the traditional American cuisine on Thanksgiving, because she is American as well, has been really interesting. And the funny story was, I think it was last year, of course, so that we had a tofurkey for her, and her dad made a wonderful prime for the rest of us. But in the end, she was the only one who got food poisoning.
Oh, we don't want it. This year, I'm reading about Tor Brisken here. Never mind for Hanukkah. Jean-Marc, thanks for calling. James Tahan, Joanne Chang, Reina Simnagar. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Talking this hour about the Thanksgiving table in a multicultural America. All kinds of Americans making the Thanksgiving Day menu their own, with a wonderful array of celebrators of Thanksgiving and chefs, cooks with us today. James Tahan is with us from Miami. He's chef and co-host for Telemundo's morning show, Un Nuevo Día. You can find his holiday recipes and all the others at our website, onpointradio.org. Born in Venezuela, been in the U.S. for a long time now, tweets at Chef James. You can follow him there. Reina Simnagar is with us, author of Persian Food for the Non-Persian Bride and other Sephardic kosher recipes you will love. She tweets at Kosher Persian, at Kosher Persian. And Joanne Chang is here, pastry chef and owner of Flour. Myers and Chang grew up with duck on a Chinese table in her household, but has got some delicious Thanksgiving desserts on the table for us right here. She's on Twitter as well, at JB Chang. We've got all kinds of people talking to us, on Twitter and everything else here. Here's Wendy, who says, everybody's got their twist, their spin, right? My Cajun family in South Louisiana expects Dad's oyster bread dressing every year for Thanksgiving. It's not Thanksgiving without the oyster bread dressing. May says, my parents are the most patriotic, naturalized Americans, originally from the Philippines. Even so, every Thanksgiving, we must have both rice and mashed potatoes, both on the table. And then Nancy, wonderful, she says, my father fled the Chinese Cultural Revolution and landed in New York, where he met and married my Dominican mother. I mean, this really is the United States of America. It's everything coming in. He cooked in and owned Chinese restaurants in New York, then moved to the very Connecticut Yankee Litchfield Hills. Quickly learned how to make master mashed potatoes, all that. Our own Thanksgiving table, he who fled from the Cultural Revolution, included a capon or Cornish game hens made with star anise, Chinese dumplings from his native Qingdao, rice, glazed carrots and shrimp scampi, and the very exotic mashed potatoes, of course. It all depends. What's exotic in your house? Chris in New Orleans is calling. Chris, thank you very much for calling. You're on the air. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, Tom. Happy Thanksgiving. How are you today?
Very well. What do you make? What do you eat?
I live in New Orleans, and so every single day is an eating experience here.
Good, you know, for you.
It's not like it's every day is Thanksgiving. We sit down around the table twice a week. One of the things that my wife and I do, she's a native New Orleanian, I'm from Texas,
yeah,
is we like to salt our turkey first. I think that's really important to get some flavor in it.
Yeah.
And then we'll, a long, arduous process, we'll pull back the skin of the turkey and we'll stuff it with various sausages. This year we're going to try out chorizo for the first time, since I'm from Texas.
Now, do you mean you roll back the skin and then stuff it and roll the skin on again, or do you take it off the turkey?
I stick my fingers between the skin and the meat,
yeah,
and I work sausage around the entire bird.
Nice.
So that way, whenever the bird's cooking,
that's amazing.
It bards the turkey with whatever kind of fatty meat you would choose. Yeah. I've done sage sausages in the past, usually a pork-based sausage.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to picture how that looks. Does it look like a double-stuffed something or other? Does it become enormous, Chris?
Hopefully this year it's going to come out looking like a red turkey with all the chorizo fat and paprika stuff within the side of the turkey. And she likes to make this side dish. She does two side dishes. One of them is a cauliflower rice.
Yeah.
Since she will take cauliflower and kind of pulse it in a blender.
Love it, yeah.
And then she will almost pan fry it, like at a very high temperature, raw, light fried rice with a couple eggs cracked in there, and she'll throw in some turmeric to give it some color and flavor.
Oh, wow, I love it. Chris, you may be from Texas, but I can hear a New Orleans-style love of food in every phrase you utter around that menu. I'm so glad for Chris, thanks for that. The phone lines are just jammed with people with all their recipes. So another one right here, Lisa, Black River Falls, Wisconsin. Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Well.
Good. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you.
My father is from Serbia.
Okay.
And so we always have incorporated some Serbian dishes in our Thanksgiving Day meal. He loves Thanksgiving, everything about it. And turkeys are eaten in Serbia, so it's not an unusual kind of meat source, so to speak.
How do you make it?
Well, we bake the turkey kind of regularly. That's okay. Not such a different thing. But and my dad loves stuffing, so we have to have that as well.
Yeah.
But in Serbia, turkey is prepared with sauerkraut. And their sauerkraut, if you will, or sour cabbage,
yeah,
is not pickled like it is in other places. It's simply brined in kind of a very salty solution.
So do you use it in stuffing, or is it?
No, you just you would shred it so it would look like sauerkraut.
Yeah.
And kind of put it all thickly in the bottom of the pan and then plop the turkey right on top
of
that.
So it's turkey on a bed of sauerkraut.
Correct. So it's the turkey bakes the sauerkraut. Gets
That's unusual.
Brown and caramelized and infused with that turkey juice flavor, and it is really so good. And I was inspired to call because of your, I guess it was Scandinavian people who talked about the
I love it. We contain multitudes. Turkey on sauerkraut. And one more, and I'll come to these dishes on the table. Thank you, Lisa. Josh in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Josh, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I want to wish you all Thanksgiving, first and foremost.
Same to you, Josh.
I've spent the last three Thanksgivings deployed, and you know, the Army, they try their best, but it's mainly pre-processed turkey and cranberries and potatoes.
And where were you deployed, Josh? Does that mean Afghanistan?
Eastern Afghanistan, Paktia province. But last year, I got to sit down with some Afghani counterparts and have some naan, and then their traditional dish, which is mutton and rice and onions.
How did it? And, how was it compared to a canned Thanksgiving, you know, from the PX or wherever?
It was good. It was different, but good. I will say that I'm just happy that I get to be home this year and have a traditional Thanksgiving for once in a while.
Yeah, you must be ready to celebrate exactly the traditional menu, just the way you remember it from childhood after all that time abroad.
Yes, and it's also my birthday, so I get to have a pumpkin pie all to myself.
You deserve it, Josh. Welcome home. We'll think especially of you tomorrow after three Thanksgivings deployed abroad. That's a lot of time, a lot of turkey in a can. I'm really glad you'll be home for that tomorrow, Josh. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Hey, let's dive right on in on this gorgeous table. Joanne, you've got a beautiful kind of, this isn't kind of a pie, but not exactly a pie.
Not exactly.
What do you, it looks like, I see red and I see gold. Is it pears and?
It's pear and cranberries roasted with a lot of ginger. And it's called a crostata. It's like an open-faced pie. It's like a free-form tart.
No pan around it. The tart is the pan.
Exactly.
Or the dough creates the pan.
Right.
In a way.
So if you don't have a pan, it's a perfect type of dessert to make. You don't have to be beholden to having a pan in the house.
And pear and cranberry, that's a nice combination of flavors right there.
It works out great. I mean, fruit in general and pears are something that Asians eat a lot of. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't usually have dessert. I mean, now I eat dessert all the time, but growing up, I never had dessert. We always had platters and platters of cut fruit.
Right.
Exactly.
Oranges, or you name it.
Definitely oranges, apples and melons. And so for Thanksgiving, I'm always looking for something fruity. This pear and cranberry crostata brings in pears, which are roasted with a lot of ginger.
And the ginger really punches right through. That'll cut through the stuffing and all the rest if that's where you are.
And then the cranberries, you know, obviously a very traditional New England ingredient for Thanksgiving. And so we just throw in whole cranberries and it adds a nice little tartness. And it's on a flaky pie crust with some almond cream.
Oh, that is absolutely beautiful. Just beautiful. And James, take us to yours, the crema catalana here. I've got Emily Alphen Johnson, my producer, took your recipe when I came in this morning. Well, she's with the torch in the little kitchen we have here, torching it up. So on your behalf, tell us about this, James.
Well, it's a very simple, straight-up recipe using the traditional crema catalana recipe, which is basically like a custard. But instead of, you know, giving the traditional vanilla flavor, we're using pumpkin to basically bring out, you know, all the, to me, flavors represent different seasons of the year. And in this case, we're using the pumpkin to somehow resemble the Thanksgiving.
And does it ever. This is incredibly delicious. What a great idea.
Like,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's super simple
to make.
It's
just natural. It goes into this form so well, that pumpkin flavor and the kind of creme brulee or crema catalana form.
Right. All the French people listening to you saying crema catalana, if they see you in the streets, they're going to throw tomatoes at you. And then all the Spanish people that will hear you say,
creme brulee,
they're going to throw tomatoes at you. So you better be careful out there.
I think it's better if we just sit down and eat it. We'll be better off.
Right. So it's a very simple, straight up recipe that anyone can make at home. Nothing too complicated, nothing too fancy. The recipe. Well, the recipe, it's posted on the website.
Yes.
And then, if anyone has questions nowadays, we have something that's, I think, the most brilliant thing of the new era, and it's social media. Yeah. I think it's such an amazing thing where people could ask us questions.
Talk to anybody anytime,
chefs.
At Chef James, and you can tell him exactly how to put this together. I shouldn't be eating all of this, but I am. I can't help
you
myself.
Should. That's a one-time, one-life opportunity you have, you know?
Oh, wow.
I want
amazing.
Some of that.
You don't see that too often.
Hey, they're jealous. Okay, I should be passing this around. I'm so bad. Miriam is calling from... Oh, I'm sorry, Miriam. My mouth is full of crema catalana. Miriam in Lexington, Massachusetts. Hello, Miriam. You're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
So I've been trying to put together traditional latkes made with sweet potato, parsnip, and celery root as a
Thanksgiving version of the great classic.
Right. Well, my brother-in-law is making the great classic, and I'm making the Hanukkah Thanksgiving version.
How great. So, and how are they turning out? Have you got the oil hot? Are you experimenting already?
No, I'm not experimenting already because I've just managed to peel everything so far. So I'm going to be grating. I'll be grating soon, but we've done some other recipes that seem to combine both of the holidays. I've made rugelach, which is a traditional Hanukkah recipe, most often made with a dairy dough, but since this is a meat meal and we have kosher home, we've been working with a recipe from my mother-in-law, and that is par. So we made her traditional recipe that included damps and plum jam, walnuts, and yellow raisins.
Oh, that sounds great. And what about your kugel? What's your Thanksgiving kugel? You have some sage in there or something this year?
No, we're not making kugel, but the Hanukkah version of this rugelach, we put together the jam with chocolate and cranberry. So that's a new one for this year. Yeah. And we made a squash pudding, traditional squash pudding, which you'd often see at Rosh Hashanah or Sukkot.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds as though your holidays are going to flow together very handsomely there, Miriam.
I hope so.
I've got another. Thank you for calling, Miriam. Raina, you've got an incredible oil-based dessert
here. Of course.
Here.
You also, know my saying, if you fry a Lego, it will taste delicious.
You fry a Lego, and on Hanukkah, fry anything inside.
Fry anything.
Right? The story comes with oil. This looks like a jelly donut, but that's not jelly. That's
that's a cream. So these are this is a sufganiya. In Hebrew, is a sufganiya. It's a play of words. It says the end of Gan Eden, the end of the, you know, the paradise. And basically, and Chava, this is our story. Adam and Eve were handed one of these delicious fried donuts at the end. And it was like God's way of saying, you know, life can be pretty plain in the outside, sometimes bumpy. Mm-hmm. But if you dig it deep enough, you'll find the treasure.
The
and the
jelly,
treasure there
case,
is the jelly or the cream, because this is
like a
Persian.
Custard, cream custard.
Exactly. It's a Persian sufganiya. It's called pirashki in Farsi. And it's this delicious pastry cream. Persians,
how do you do that for Thanksgiving if you're keeping kosher and there's meat on the table?
Wonderful question. Mm-hmm. So, of course, same here. I
dairy
keep a kosher
meat,
kitchen.
No, so
you can't really have it. But this dairy cream can be made with also non-dairy ingredients. And I make it with soy. Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Adam and Eve. I'm jealous.
The
new paradise. I'm jealous all over
it's
again.
It's good stuff.
The presentation, well, they're powdered on top. They look, they're the size of a jelly donut.
Exactly.
And much the same with this wonderful cream inside.
Yeah.
And there you've got a Hanukkah.
It's our Israeli, because of Ganiot are typically Israeli. Israeli, okay. Persian. Dessert, isn't that like peace in one peace? Finally, we have peace in the Middle East donut.
Yes, a peace conference, a peace treaty in a donut. I love it. Amy in Madison, Wisconsin. Amy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I grew up Jewish, and my mother and grandmother always made stuffing with matzah.
Ah, great. Why
and
not?
It was delicious.
Yeah. I'm looking at a recipe right here. Matzo ball soup, but turkey stock instead of chicken. We may have plenty of that this year during Hanukkah, Amy.
Well, that sounds good. The more the merrier. Yep. But the matzah stuffing is very good.
Matzah stuffing, do not miss it. And I've got another here. Joanne, take us to this. This is ginger.
This is a old-fashioned gingerbread with a coffee glaze. This is something that you might have on Thanksgiving morning or the day after.
What a perfect confluence of Asian and Thanksgiving. I mean, gingerbread, you're already leaning toward the next season and then Thanksgiving at the same time.
Right. And then we top it with a coffee glaze where a lot of Asian cultures, especially in Vietnam, they have Vietnamese coffee, which is a really strong coffee mixed with a little sweetened condensed milk. And so riff on that by just making a glaze with some really strong coffee and pour that on top of the gingerbread. And it's not super sweet, which is one of the hallmarks of Asian desserts, is that you don't want anything that's too sweet.
Just great. James, where do you think we go as we open up our sort of cultural windows more and more in this country? Here's Thanksgiving, the most American of holidays. But it sounds to me as though that table is going to have a tremendous kind of splendor and variety to it as we move forward, James.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think every day we're being exposed to much more flavors because of the influences of different countries in the U.S. particularly. And now, like, I was in Colorado 2-3 weeks ago, and I was asking people what they were going to make for Thanksgiving dinner. And the funny thing is that, you know, there's so many different recipes that people nowadays are going to prepare for Thanksgiving that it's just crazy. Before, maybe 10, 20 years ago, they would go for the traditional, you know, turkey with the stuffing and this and that. And you see some crazy delicious recipes nowadays. And I think that's something that that definitely is telling us what the trends in terms of cultures are nowadays, because they're just bringing so much stuff in that I think it's going to take all our recipes for Thanksgiving to a whole different level.
It is splendid. You know, in my house, I'm the cook on Thanksgiving Day, and it's a fairly traditional Thanksgiving meal. But when I taste all these things, I guess one of the things that I am thankful for is how this country pulls it all together and makes it all part of a wonderful holiday. You are all so generous to share your Thanksgiving menus and dishes with us. James DeHaan with Telemundo in Miami. Thank you so much for joining us, James.
Thank you, Tom. It was a great pleasure meeting you guys.
Great to have you.
My fellow chefs, people, everyone
Joanne
out there.
Joanne Chang, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
And Reina Simnagar, thanks so much for
coming. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, Thanksgiving. This is On Point.